Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, we are a little over 24 hours, I guess 28 hours, since I last came on the air for the first time, and I was a little bit, really kind of down and upset about the J.J. Paterka trade. I've had more time to digest it. I think as yesterday morning went by, I felt a little better. Now, some of that is, of course, personally emotional, right? I have a young son who loves J.J. Paterka, and you're like, oh man, you always hate when that happens, right? We've all gone through that as sports fans. Somebody who you really like as a player, especially as a kid, you know, winds up leaving. Different day and age today. It happens more often with free agency than it did like when I was a kid in all these sports. But it does happen a lot. We've had it happen way too often here in Buffalo, especially with the Sabres lately, right? Jack Eichel, Dylan Cousins, you know, naming it Ryan Miller. It doesn't matter, right? Like, it happens for different reasons. And, you know, Sam Reinhart, now J.J. Paterka, whatever. I mean, when I was growing up, you had those. It was, you know, Danny Gare, Jim Schoenfeld, Tom Barrasso. You had those things happen as well. And it's just like, come on, it sucks. On the ice, I said a couple days ago, I just did not think that the Sabres would get the return that would make them better. And I still question if that's the case. But I will say, as I've gone through yesterday, and as I went through yesterday and got to today, and last night, and reading more people, hearing more people, listening to people who I respect, who are smart and understand a little bit more about the games of the two players they brought in, especially Kesselring, I think the Sabres got some good players here that can help them, and especially him. Even Doan, I think it can be a nice player, but we'll see where it goes. So I do think from that aspect, and the fact that, you know, there's a lot of analytics and numbers that say, and we all knew this, that, you know, some deficiencies in JJ's game, and, you know, that they're going to be a better team building it this way. And I think that's the part I want to respect more, is the build of the team, the build of what they're trying to do here. And that's kind of where I've landed today a little bit more. But now we have to dovetail it into tonight, right? Tonight is the start of the NHL draft. And we're going to have coverage for you here on WGR all night long, starting at 7 p.m. Sabres hold the number 9 pick. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Brian Colzio and Brayton Wilson are going to be hosting the draft coverage tonight. Paul Hamilton's going to be down at One Bills Drive. That's where the Sabres will have their media and war room. Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale, we got all hands on deck tonight as well as tomorrow. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, TJ Luckman. So everybody involved here at WGR giving you the best coverage possible of the 2025 NHL draft tonight. I do think it matters still, though. I'm not here to tell you I think they won the trade. I never thought they could win the trade. I still don't think they won the trade. I do think they set themselves up, though, to really help themselves going forward if they, the Sabres that is, make the proper necessary moves on top of this deal. This has to be paired with another deal. That's what I've said all along, and I still believe that. That might start tonight with the number 9 pick. I've said for a while, I hope the Sabres trade the number 9 pick. I don't care if they package it with Bo Byram or whatever they do. I want them to trade the pick because I don't need another number 9 player, number 9 pick overall. They've been down this road. They have a backlog of prospects. We've been talking about how young they are and how good the prospects are for quite a while. And I don't need that anymore. I need to win now. So that's where I am about tonight. Before we do any of that today, we're going to learn more about the two players the Sabres drafted. I'm sorry, two Sabres players the Sabres traded for. Belle Frazier is scheduled to join me here momentarily. She covers the Utah Mammoth for the Salt Lake Tribune. So we'll do that with Belle. And then at 10:30 today, we are going to talk with Brayton Wilson. Brayton is, he's always on top of the draft. He's always on top of the NHL draft, like what's happening for, you know, the Sabres, number 9, lots of the early picks, where the board could fall. We'll get with Brayton at the bottom of the hour. And then Paul Hamilton. You're going to hear a lot from Paul this weekend. Today, he was on this morning. He'll be on with me today. You can follow Paul on Twitter at PHAM1717, WGR550.com as well. And of course, he'll be down at One Bills Drive. That's right. The Sabres taking over the Bills media and war room area because this is a decentralized draft, much different than what we normally see in the NHL, much more of an NFL type of format. And as Joe said yesterday, and I agree with this, thinking about it, you know, the NFL has the combine in their form. The NHL is a combine. It's totally different. The NFL combine is like a national convention, basically. Then they also have the owners' meetings, which is a little more intimate, but it really involves everybody at the highest of levels. So these guys, these people, men and women who run organizations in the NHL and the NFL, they get together in February, at the end of February, at the end of March. And then by the time you get to draft, they've already talked to each other. In the NHL, it's different. In the NHL, really, the draft is the spot where everybody goes to, but not this year. Which is why maybe you see a few trades made before draft night. They're not in the same room. They're not going to be in the same room. So it's going to be a little bit different this year than normal, but I'm looking forward to it because the Sabres do have the number 9 pick, and I think there are a lot of possibilities out there. They made a big move yesterday. J.J. Paterka traded overnight, basically, yesterday to the Utah Mammoth. Sabres receiving Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring in return. Belle Frazier covers the Utah Mammoth for the Salt Lake Tribune. She joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Belle, thank you so much for joining me here today in WGR. We really appreciate it. I know it's a little bit earlier in the morning for you over there.
No biggie. It's draft day, so I was up anyways. Obviously, I heard you previewing it, but a big day for a lot of teams.
No doubt about it. We'll get into that. I want to ask you and start off this first of all, because from the Sabres point of view and fans, they want to know first and foremost what the Sabres are getting in these players from the Utah Mammoth. Now, these guys did meet on a Zoom call with the local media yesterday. A lot of good reviews on the type of people they are, the type of players that they're bringing in here, community people in the community that they'll have. But on the ice, let's start with Josh Doan. What kind of player is he? And then you could talk about off the ice as well.
Yeah, Josh Doan, I think when you look at his production this year for Utah, he only played 51 games and he had 19 points, 7 goals, 12 assists. And he'll tell you that he wished he was more consistent there. He spent a part of the season in the AHL with the Tucson Roadrunners, but he came back midway through the season when Dylan Gunther got hurt, and you could just tell in practice and in games that he was not leaving the NHL lineup again, and that was true. He battled his way into a middle six position, and he found a lot of success on the third line with Jack McBain and Lawson Krause. And I think the biggest thing about Josh Doan is just his motor and his work ethic and his forecheck, his battles against the walls, loose puck battles. You know, that's a guy who's going to be in front of nets doing anything to get a rebound, boxing goalies out. He's physical. He'll throw a hit. He'll take a hit. So he really is that type of nail gun player that wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think the goal and assist production will come with that. He always talks about, you know, having a plan B and making sure all other aspects of your game are going well if you're not scoring. And I think what really helps with him is, as people can imagine, as Shane Doan's son and being around the game for so long, he has a really strong mental game. He's not on the bench having poor posture, snapping his stick or anything. You would think he's 35 the way he acts, and he's 23. You know, he has a real sense of leadership to him. So I think that's a positive for Buffalo and kind of goes into the type of person he is. I think I tweeted this out, but Josh Doan and Michael Kessering, I think, were two of the best humans in the Utah locker room. From a media perspective, you know, they're addressing you by their name, which seems small, but with professional athletes, it does go a long way just with respect. And they care deeply about their play, about their team, about their community. They quickly turned into two fan favorites in a brand new market, which hadn't had an NHL team before. And I think the outcry of heartbreak when they got traded, even though Utah got J.J. Paterka and, like you said, on paper, probably got the best player in the trade, the fact that fans were still so upset about it, I think, shows the impact these guys had in Salt Lake City this year.
Yeah, it's ironic too, Bell, to be honest with you. I don't know if you're aware, but here in Buffalo, about 10, 11 years ago, maybe a little shorter than that, about 10 years ago, there was a big push here, and we thought the Sabres were going to sign Shane Doan, actually. And the GM at the time, Darcy Regier, like, there was a big thing about, you know, Shane Doan being connected to the Sabres. They went after him. They tried to get him. It never worked out, obviously. He stayed in Arizona. And now here comes Josh Doan. So things kind of come full circle from that regard. He is the kind of he's a bit smaller than his dad, but it does seem like he has the same kind of game as his dad. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how things work out. This is kind of full circle then.
All right, so let's talk about the other player the Sabres got here, right-handed shot defenseman Michael Kesselring, who the Sabres really were after this type of player, it seems like, a right-handed shot defenseman. He's physical, he's bigger. It's not that he's going to go around punching you in the face all the time, but he's going to be tough to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really stepped up this season, and he got a lot more opportunity than he and the team probably thought he would have this year because Utah had so many defensive injuries to open the season. You know, John Marino had lower back surgery, was out for 3 to 5 months. Sean Durzi had shoulder surgery, same timeline. And then guys were just in and out of the lineup with injuries. But Kesselring really was there to fill that gap. And he played first pair minutes with Mikhail Sergachev, second pair with Ian Cole. He kind of played with every defenseman available. And he also got time on the power play on the second unit, running the point there. So I think he really got to prove himself as an NHL caliber player. And, you know, he's a 6th round draft pick, started at Edmonton, was in the AHL there, got traded to Arizona. And he always talks about playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So I think this year for him was all about consistency, which he struggled with at times. But when he was on, he was on. And he has all the assets that, if he can put it together, can be, you know, a really big name, kind of a unicorn in the NHL. You know, he had 29 points this year, 7 goals, 22 assists. He's 6'5", 215 pounds. He can fight. He hits, and he's an offensive defenseman, puck-moving defenseman, but he was forced to kind of learn to be more stay-at-home when he was paired with guys like Mikhail Sergachev or possibly Owen Power in the future. So, I think you guys are getting a guy whose ceiling is he hasn't hit yet. And someone who has a lot of potential to grow into a bigger role, because once Marino and Durzi did come back, his role kind of lessened. And he talked about kind of the mental side of that, how it was tough for him to go from playing, you know, 20 minutes a night, which was a career high, to more 12 to 14 once those guys came back. But he found different ways to impact the game. And that was a really big thing for him, transitioning into whatever the team needed from him instead of worrying about his individual game. And I think that's when you saw the fights come through, because he had limited ice time. So he just wanted to shift the momentum of a game. He did that in that Toronto game, and Utah right after scored 3 goals. So I think he's really a team oriented guy who has the skill, has the size, and just needs, you know, the people around him to help him get to that highest potential.
One thing that we've noticed here in Buffalo that I've seen people write about is this guy shoots a lot. He led the Utah team last year in total, as far as defensemen. He led all their defensemen in shots on goal with 150. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that he just shooting all over the place, or is he calculated? Is he smart about it? I think, you know, that's one thing that you know, Sabres fans have kind of latched onto a little bit here.
Yeah, I think he has grown to be calculated and smart about it. And you would kind of see it in waves, because sometimes he wouldn't be shooting, and then the coaches would be like, we need our D-men to be more active. And I actually did a feature on Kesselring, and he went back to Boston for the first time. But I talked to his AHL coach back in Bakersfield and his coach at Northeastern University, where he played college hockey. And they said the number one thing they told Kesselring through his development was, use your shot. Like, it's a rocket. Use it. So I think for him, it's the balance, right, of being more responsible in the NHL because it isn't college hockey and it isn't the AHL, but also knowing he has an asset that, even if it doesn't go in, creates a lot of chaos in front of the net. I mean, you see the 22 assists he had. So I think getting it on net is important for him. It's a big part of what differentiates him from the other defensemen, at least on Utah. But he, like you said, he definitely had to learn when to use it and when not to use it. But I don't think he's, you know, recklessly just throwing the puck on net, at least, you know, last year with the Mammoth.
Bell Frazier joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Sabres trade J.J. Paterka for Josh Stone and Michael Kesselring. All right, you mentioned great human beings. That's right. You know, that's great to hear. You want people in your locker room who are like that. But, of course, coming with that, what the Sabres also need is some leadership, some guys that, you know, will be able to kind of, you know, do the things the right way. I think what they've been lacking here from the fans' perspective is some body language stuff, some, you know, guys that just they've kind of checked out when things aren't going their way. What about from that standpoint, from what you see from these guys and their character on the ice?
Yeah, I think that's what goes into their high praise in Utah, is because they cared so much and they were such hard workers, and you never saw those two quit. And Utah went through some tough times. I mean, they didn't have their full lineup, their full roster until the 50-game point of the season because of all the injuries, like I said, defensively, but also forward. So these guys were really tested. Josh Stone dealt with a lot of adversity. He made the opening night roster, which was really important to him in this first year. But then, you know, 3 to 4 games later, got sent down to the AHL and didn't come back until January. And I did a story about that, too. And everyone said he had the greatest attitude about it. He was talking, you know, to Utah front office about what they wanted him to work on. And a lot of it was just confidence and getting in front of the net and getting those rebounds and asserting himself a little bit more. And you could see an actual shift in his game when you came back. So I think for both of those guys, if they get knocked down, they're coming back stronger. For young players, they really do have a good head on their shoulders. And I think for both of them, too, they're excited about this opportunity in Buffalo because they want to be part of the help. They want to be part of the change. Kesselring always talks about that when, you know, he got less playing time. It was just so hard for him because all he wanted to do was be out there to help this team win. And he thrives off of getting opportunity. And I think Josh Stone, too, does as well. And those are two guys who have worked for every single inch they've gotten with Utah last year. And I think that will bode well in Buffalo, where maybe they can get a little bit more opportunity. And I think if anyone's going to embrace it, it's Kessler and Doan.
You can read more of Bell's work, her stories she's referencing on these two newest Buffalo Sabres. She is on Twitter, on social media, at Bell, B-E-L-L-E, Frazier, F-R-A-S-E-R-1, at Bell Frazier 1. All right, so the question then is, you're telling us all these great things about these guys the Sabres are getting. Why did Utah make this deal then? They're getting a good player, J.J. Paterka, but why were they comfortable trading these two players who are so helpful and could be guys that could help them going on in the future?
Well, we talked to Bill Armstrong yesterday, and his answer was kind of what I agreed with. To get something great, you got to give up something great as well. And I think for Utah, when you look at their defensive depth right now, they have Olli Maatta, Nick DeSimone, Don Marino, Ian Cole, Mikhail Sergachev, all locked up for next year. And then they also just signed Dmitry Simashev, who was their 6th overall pick in 2023. Who is, you know, a 6'5" defenseman as well. Maverick Lamoureux, they have in the AHL. He's another right shot defenseman, as well as Artem Duda. And both of those guys have been developing with the Tucson Roadrunners for a bit now. So I think they felt comfortable with their defensive depth. They could still go out and fill that. Same with Doan. They have a roster spot open now, but I think they have guys in the pipeline who will fight for that. You know, Daniel Boot just signed as with Dmitry Simashev. They're both coming over from the KHL. So I think they felt comfortable there. But the biggest thing is, beyond, you know, the hole that Kesselring and Doan leave, is the hole that J.J. Paterka fills in the top six. The amount of games that Utah lost by one goal or lost in overtime, 13, which was a league high, and they were only missed the playoffs by 7 points. So that would have pushed them across the finish line, and all of those 1 points lost, it was a constant for them. They'd go into the third period and they'd need one back-breaking goal to get ahead or to tie the game or to widen the gap, and they could never get it. And they were leaning a lot on Clayton Keller, on Logan Cooley, on Dylan Gunther in the top six to produce for the team. And they just need someone with that scoring touch in the top six. They need the speed. They need, reinforcements up there. And I think J.J. Paterka fit that bill. And another big thing for him is he is the same age range as a lot of Utah's young core, 23 years old. Logan Cooley just turned 21. Dylan Gunther is 21, 22. So I think that made Armstrong feel comfortable that not only is Paterka coming in to help that top six, but he's also on the same timeline of this team, and he was willing to sign the extension, which with the cap going up is a pretty fair deal for Utah. So I think it was a lot of things that made sense for them, and also not having to give up any picks or any prospects, you know, two roster players for Paterka, who hopefully will be a big part of their forward core going forward, is a deal I think you can't turn down for them.
Couple fan questions for you. I know here the fan reaction yesterday was immediately, oh my God, I can't believe it. They traded J.J. Paterka, and now you have a hole in your player, scored a lot of goals. As the day went on, as I said, I started listening and reading people more on the two guys coming back and going, okay, this is a better deal than I thought, you know, for the Sabres. Maybe not the best player in the deal, but they've helped themselves. What was the fan reaction knowing how popular these two players were, but also knowing they were getting J.J. Paterka?
It was a mix for sure. I think the fans that have been here since day one, and you know, Delta Center sold out every game this year. Fans were on the boards the whole time. There was a really special connection between the inaugural team here and the fan base. They were heartbroken, and we were kind of joking that it was like they've had so many firsts this year as new NHL fans, and you always remember your first trade heartbreak. So especially it breaking in the fashion it did, 10 p.m. Mountain Time, midnight Eastern Time. It was. I grew up a Rangers fan, so I was having flashbacks to, you know, the 2016 rebuild. But I think it's just shock for a lot of the fans, and it's something that you go through. And like I said, those are two guys that people really gravitated towards this year. So they were more upset about the human. But then I think once they read the stories about Paterka and what he can do for the top six, and I wrote this in one of my columns, I said, this is what serious teams do. You know, the first year was fun, and it was, you know, a bunch of rainbows and butterflies around Utah because the NHL is finally here and people love the team, but they're not just here to have fun. They're here to win hockey games. They're here to make the playoffs. And I think people are starting to realize that J.J. Paterka gives them a much better chance to do that. And I think fans also got comfort that Kessling and Doan were going together. I'm sure you've read this, but they've been roommates for the last 2 years in Arizona and in Utah. They have three pets. Kessering has two cats named Sox and Ranger. And then Josh Stone has like a St. Bernard poodle named Hank. So this year in Utah, they had to keep them on different floors of their house. But they said that they're all going to be going to Buffalo. They're going to be living together again. All the pets will be reunited. So I think that is the one good upside that Utah fans are happy that they're such best friends and they're going to this next stage of their career together. And that they can probably catch a couple Buffalo games now, too, and watch both of them at the same place.
Yeah, that's great. I love that story. And you saying you grew up a Rangers fan. It's funny. Paterka was linked to the Rangers going back to the last trade deadline, as you know. The Sabres ultimately, they trade him ultimately to Utah. But if I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what do you think about the changes that they've gone through, coaching change and where they are right now? A little bit of a disappointment last year, obviously, from what their expectations were.
Yeah, I mean, brutal. It was shocking. And I think it's obviously with the Chris Kreider trade, it's the last remnants of that 2014 core no longer left. I know JT Miller is there, but those were kind of the glory days of the Rangers for the few years after that. And then obviously all the Eastern Conference final runs, and it seems like they ran out of gas, but honestly, more like a culture problem. And I think the trades they made are showing that they're not going to a full rebuild, but maybe a retool on the fly. Mm-hmm. In terms of coaching, I'm a fan of it. I mean, I'm biased. I went to Boston University, so the fact that Mike Sullivan's the bench boss with David Quinn and Joe Sacco, who are all former Boston University players, I love it. And I do think that's the kind of leadership you need in there in terms of Mike Sullivan. He's a no BS guy, obviously, Four Nations, Olympics. That's someone that commands respect and the best out of his players. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how David Quinn does, especially how his last stint in New York went, which was a firing. But I think the Rangers have to prove themselves all over again. You know, my family is also Rangers fans. They're my childhood team, but now that you're in the media, you kind of look at it differently. But they're like, they need to prove to us that they're a real hockey team again. Like, we're not coming in excited about this season yet. So they're in a tough spot, but it'll be interesting to see what they do this offseason going into next year.
You've been awesome with your time. I really appreciate it. I do have one more. Yesterday, of course, you have the trade, and then the NBA trade happens, and this Ace Bailey kid goes to Utah. And I don't know how much you are into, you know, following all that or covering it. I know you don't cover it professionally necessarily. You're on the Mammoth side, but what's been going on over there? Like, what's been the reaction on sports radio and, you know, in print and all that over the Ace Bailey situation?
Yeah, well, I'm not a huge NBA follower, but I love our Tribune coverage of it. So I was asking our beat reporter and kind of people around, and they were saying they think that Ace Bailey is like the second most talented person in the draft. They're excited about it, but everyone was freaking out about when he was going to talk to the media, if Utah was a place they actually wanted to be. And, you know, last year, the Tribune beat reporter said media happened the Tuesday after the draft, so they wouldn't be too worried about that. But yeah, they haven't talked to him yet. I think ESPN has reported and made it a bit more of a situation than maybe it is out here. But I think for them, if everything works out, that's a great player to get at five, especially because they were hoping to be higher up in the draft. And they're being talked about. You know, Jazz fans actually have something to be hopeful for. That's kind of been a storyline here this season where a lot of Jazz fans have turned to the NHL just because it's a little bit more positive. The team is on an upward trajectory and the Jazz have been so depressing. But for them, with the Ace Bailey news, at least something is happening with their team. And I think people feel that they're in the headlines. And like I said, if it worked out, this could be a really big player for the Jazz. So we shall see. You can imagine it's been a busy week with NBA and NHL draft. But yeah, I mean, that's what I know of the situation.
Well, listen, enjoy tonight, and thank you so much for coming on here today. I really appreciate it. And thank you also for getting back to me so quickly. I searched. I'm like, I got to get a Mammoth reporter on. You're the first person I found, and you got back to me very quickly, and that's very much appreciated. So thank you so much. And now I know where I'm getting my Utah Mammoth coverage going forward. And for my son, by the way, who's a very big J.J. Paterka fan, and he's a little bit heartbroken. And like you were talking earlier, he's 11 years old, and he's heartbroken. He's got a couple J.J. jerseys, so he'll be following from afar for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. That is Belle Frazier. Go and follow her on Twitter at Belle Frazier, BelleFrazer1, Utah Mammoth. Yeah, and then Ace Bailey gets drafted by the Utah Jazz, and he's like, I'm not playing there. Like, this is one of the teams they took. Do not draft me. I'm not going to play for you. And you got to go kind of read some of the quotes coming out. And yeah, ESPN, Brian Windhorst, things he's saying, and kind of a crazy situation there. We'll see how it plays out. But tonight, NHL draft, Sabres have the 9th overall pick. Brayton Wilson joins me next to preview at least the top of the draft, if not beyond, because Brayton's so smart about all of this. I want to ask him about some of the players the Sabres can get their hands on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Well, I think I've seen some people refer to it even as a two-player draft. We don't quite see it that way. We see more 5, 6, 7 players, and then maybe a little bit of a drop-off and a big cluster of players after that. So I guess the intrigue and the nervousness will be how we view the top 6, 7 to be. Will one of those be there at 9 for us? Could there be a situation where we move up? If we have the pick, do we move up? Do we move back? If all the players are gone, or if one of them's still available there at, you know, 7 or 8.
Sabres assistant general manager. I think that's the correct title, right, Josh? Jerry Fortin? Because I know he's a director of amateur scouting, but also the assistant general manager as well now, Jerry Fortin. He joined Kevin Adams in a press conference earlier this week. You can hear that. If you haven't yet, go back and listen on demand at WGR550.com. Sal Capaccio with you here on NHL Draft Night. Joined in studio back in Amherst, I'm in studio. Capaccio is Brayton Wilson joining me right now. I appreciate Brayton coming aboard. He's got his duties at WBEN. So if something were to happen and Brayton had to bow out, we totally understand, Brayton. But let's hope that's not the case, and we can just talk NHL draft here. So good morning to you.
Morning. Yeah, no, I think we should be okay for the time that we're going to be chatting here for a little bit.
All right, so Sabres hold the number 9 overall pick. We spoke about a month ago. Have you
Have you changed any thoughts you have about the top 10, let's say, maybe what you had a month ago, maybe what you had a couple months ago? What has changed? A lot of times in the NFL, coming from that sport and covering the draft, you'll see a lot of guys rise, a lot of guys fall. How has that kind of morphed over the last couple months?
Yeah, I mean, I've been following a lot of the talk that's been going around town just about where some of these teams value some of these prospects. And it's really interesting to hear just how they like a prospect and whether or not that's just, you know, that's smoke, or if it's real, or if it's just something to kind of get the scent off of another team trying to pursue a certain prospect. It's really interesting to see how some of these teams have been talked about, how they're approaching this draft. And you know, my top 10 has, you know, I had my mock draft over at WGR550.com, and I already kind of had it together a little bit 2 weeks ago. And in the 2 weeks, I think I've changed around my selections three different times. And within that top 10, I think I did it twice to a couple of different players. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see who falls where and just whether or not some of those rumors were true.
Matthew Schaefer, clearly the number one pick, right? There's no doubt about that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't foresee him falling out of at least the top two, because, I mean, if it's not the Islanders taking him, then it's going to be San Jose. San Jose could use a number one defenseman in the future down the road. So if he falls to San Jose, that would be a little shocking. Not entirely just like, oh my God, no one saw that coming, but at least in my eyes, it would be shocking just to not see Matthew Schaefer going number one to the Islanders. But then after that, it's kind of a hodgepodge of which center, which forwards are going to go where.
It's always different, again, comparable to the NFL. I've said the other day, the NHL is a prospects draft, right? It's not like you're filling needs right away. In the NFL, if you're picking number nine, you can say, look, we have a need right here. The Bills draft at number nine, Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, bam, they plug him right in. That's not the case in the NHL. These guys are going to develop. That being said, how did, if at all, the trade the Sabres made yesterday, J.J. Paterka out, a couple of guys coming in, including a right shot defenseman they've been looking for, Michael Kesselring. How does that change, in your mind, any thinking the Sabres might have?
I don't think it really changes much of anything. Where they're sitting right now at number nine, they're probably going to take what they feel is best player available. They could go defense. They could go forward. And I mean, they're not going to take goaltender at this point. There's only really one goaltender that's been talked about as a first round pick this year, but I don't think that changes their mindset at all. I think it should be with where they are at number nine in the draft order. It should be best player available. However, given the fact that they do have a pretty strong and deep prospect pool, I could also see them going and approaching this and saying, okay, there's a particular prospect we like. We could take a swing at this guy and know that, okay, we do have a hole here, and it would be nice to add him and plug in that hole in the prospect depth chart and you know, down the road for when he comes into the NHL. It'll be interesting how Buffalo approaches this draft. Listening to Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin the other day, Kevin Adams obviously said it's best player available, but then we heard Jerry Fortin talking about, you know, a guy like Radim Mirka, who's a big, tall, right shot defenseman, and obviously NHL teams love right shot defensemen because they're a rare commodity, especially when you got a guy like Mirka, who's 6'6", 200, he's 6'6", 216 pounds out of Czechia. Yeah, just, you know, that's a guy that if he's available there for the Sabres, I would think long and hard about taking him with that ninth pick.
All right, you have the Sabres in your latest mock. You'd like people to go read it, but I'll just say it here so you can talk about him. Brady Martin, center from the Sioux Greyhounds. Why did you have him mocked to the Sabres at number nine?
He is just a wrecking ball. Like, that's the best way I can describe him. He is a player that has a super high ceiling, and if he hits that ceiling, it's a pretty complete ceiling with being a super skilled player, being good at both ends of the rink, and also just going around and hitting anything and everything that's in his sight. There are some people that have said that Brady Martin is maybe the best hitter in hockey, period. And he's only 18 years old, and people were saying that he hits better than some guys in the NHL. He's just very methodical. He kind of goes in with I wouldn't say reckless abandon, because that oftentimes could lead to injury, but he's very smart about the way that he engages physically with the opposing players. And just, he's got that upside of being potentially a skilled forward too. He's not flashy by any means. He's not going to go out there and score, you know, these ridiculously insane goals, but he's got to do the hard work to get into the scoring positions, to get into areas of the ice where he can put a puck on net and create a good high danger chance. It's just a guy that I think a lot of players are licking their chops over. And also the fact that, you know, one thing I kind of like, he's a farm boy. He's a kid that knows he has to put the work in and has to put the effort in order to get places. And I think a lot of teams are going to like that. And I could see Brady Martin going as high as the fourth overall pick with Utah. There were talks right after the combine that he had went out to dinner with Utah and that they were in love with him. And there are some other teams like Boston, I think, is another team that could absolutely grab Martin at number seven just because of the style of play that he is. And a lot of people want to compare him to Brad Marchand. So Boston fans are probably like, well, if we're not getting Brad Marchand back in free agency, then why not go get his replacement, a much younger replacement in Brady Martin?
Is there a guy that is kind of a pretty polarizing guy in this draft? We've had a few of these guys in the last couple of years where teams kind of like if they pull the trigger because they're really banking on the upside, but man, it is a risky play.
Yeah, there's a few guys, but it's a little later in the draft. The big question mark, I think, in the top tier of this draft is Roger McQueen. And the reason I say that is because he's super talented. He's got the raw skill and ability to be arguably a number one center. There are some people that think that Roger McQueen, if he hits that ceiling at the NHL level, if he hits that high point, he could be one of the better centers in the NHL, being just super skilled, tall at 6'5". And, you know, a lot of people want to throw the comparison to Tage Thompson out there because they're so similar. Right shot, big body, good offensive skill, and they can play a good two-way game. The only concern about Roger McQueen, and this is a concern that the Blue Jackets, they took the risk by drafting Caden Lindstrom last year, fourth overall, is Roger McQueen dealt with a pretty significant back injury, not just last year for the most of the year, but he had the problems in the 23-24 season, and doctors misdiagnosed that back injury as well, so it lingered for months for him. He just never really got the chance to really kind of fully display what he possibly could do in his draft year, but I guess for the combine, he said he was feeling 100% and he was just about ready to go and kind of move past all the injuries and look forward to his now NHL career, which, you know, I guess I can't say NHL career because you get drafted and you're obviously not immediately thrown to the NHL. But, you know, post NHL draft, he's looking forward to continuing his development and showing the team that drafted him why he was worth the pick.
Also, let's be honest, Brayton. If that guy hits his ceiling, he is going to have a ton of endorsements with that name, right? Roger McQueen.
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't want Roger McQueen and all of their advertisements on television? I mean, this guy's destined for the movies, I think, at some point.
Yeah, no. I mean, he is a fun player. He really is a fun player to watch. Again, he only played 17 games this year because of his injury, but the intangibles are there for a skilled center down the middle. He's got a nice shot to him. He can dangle and skate around guys like, you know, like a Tage Thompson can. Again, it's just the back injuries and whether or not those are actually behind him, and then he can continue to perform and not let that linger at any point in the rest of his career.
All right, buddy. Well, the number nine pick, a lot of people want to, I'd like to see it moved. We have Bo Byram out there. You have the number nine pick. We'll see what happens. You think? What do you think the appetite is for the Sabres and the NHL for that pick?
It's so tough, and I think we've talked about this before, that top 10 picks don't move very often in the NHL. Mm-hmm. They really don't. The last one that did was the Senators, I think, when they traded for Alex DeBrincat. I think that's the last time that we saw a top 10 pick move at all, and there have been other instances, but it's rare. Teams, when they find their guy in the top of the class that they really like, they would just rather sit and wait to see what happens, and then they have all the other, you know, contingency picks, the plan A's, the plan B's, the plan C's. And, you know, I personally would love to see the Sabres move this pick. I don't think they need a prospect that's going to continue to develop and may not be here for another 2, 3, 4 seasons. But again, just what are you exactly going to get out of trading the ninth overall pick? It has to be something that kind of blows your socks off. And I don't know what exactly that might be this year. I mean, is it a guy like Noah Dobson? Okay, but I don't think that's going to happen. Is it part of a trade that maybe you take a swing at a Jason Robertson tonight from Dallas? I mean, that's something that would be a little more intriguing. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep the ninth pick. I don't think they're going to move up. I don't know what team is going to want to, you know, give up that spot. Like, even if they wanted to try and move up to, say, 7 or 6 with Boston or Philadelphia, I don't see either of those teams moving from their spot. They're just going to let the board fall as it plays, and then they're going to make their selection and move on. Again, I would love to see the pick moved. I said it right after the draft lottery. Hey, they need to go focus and trade that pick, but I just think that's not going to happen at this point.
All right, buddy, get ready for a long night and maybe even a long weekend. You're going to be out tonight with Brian Coles. You'll start at 7, right?
Yep, yeah. Looking forward to tonight, Brian and I. This is, oh, God, how many drafts have we done? This is my 10th draft that I've been here at WGR in Odyssey, Buffalo. And wow. I think I've done coverage with Brian at least since 2017, hosting with him at the very least. I know a couple years ago he couldn't do it, so I hosted with Josh, I think. But, this is super exciting. I always look forward to this time of year. It is kind of like Christmas for me, where you get so excited, so amped up, and then when it gets here, it's just like, oh, I kind of don't want it to end. And then you get through the night, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I'm glad it's over.
it's like Thanksgiving dinner. You wait, and then it's over kind of in a flash, right? Yeah. Follow him on Twitter, at Brayton J. Wilson. And, of course, coverage tonight on WGR and WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sal. Anytime.
All right, you got it. That is Brayton Wilson doing a great job covering the NHL draft, as he always does every year for us here at WGR and Odyssey. We'll take a timeout when we come back. I wrote it on Twitter earlier. I haven't yet talked about it. I will. I have a Bills recent comparable for the J.J. Paterka trade for some similarities that I think are really interesting, but also some differences, obviously. But I'll tell you what that is, who that is, and why that is when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, earlier today, before the show, I tweeted that I had a recent Bills comparable I want to run by you when it comes to J.J. Paterka. And I actually had someone, Ghost Mike, who tweeted at me exactly who it is. And that is Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And that is Tremaine Edmonds. I want to give a little comparison here. I thought it was just kind of thinking about it a little bit. I think the Tremaine Edmonds situation, very similar in regards to J.J. Paterka. And of course, very different, right? It's not the exact same one-on-one, one-for-one comparable. But, you know, Tremaine came into the NFL very young. And usually guys come in a little bit older. So by the time he got 4 or 5 years in the league, he was way younger than most people. By the time his career in Buffalo ended, he was only 24. And he had already played 5 years in the league, right? Like, J.J. Paterka's 23, and he's played 3 years in the league. So, you know, from that standpoint, very young players who were still, in a lot of people's minds, developing, ascending, right? Now, you might argue Tremaine hit a ceiling. That's fine. The other reason why, though, is I will tell you this. Very, very polarizing as far as their game and the debate about them, which is, for Tremaine, it was always, boy, he makes a lot of tackles. Like, he's big, he's physical. He was at times, but how do I want to phrase this? He's long, he's athletic, he does a lot of things well. He also is missing some key components of his game, which are mainly splash plays and really making a play when it matters and a difference-making type of play. Like, that was kind of the deficiency of him. He got eaten up a little bit by bigger players, right? Like, because of his athleticism and length, but bigger players would eat him up and he wouldn't be able to get off blocks and shed blocks. Then you have JJ, who, goal score, 5-on-5 goal score, exactly what you need. But you know what? Deficiencies in his defensive end. Like, if you're going to have a middle linebacker, you got to be able to shed blocks. If you're going to be a top 6 forward, you got to play a little bit more on the defensive end than JJ has. So I think from that standpoint, right, very comparable because of the debate we've had. To me, the debate between the two players from fans is really similar. These young players who then went out and got big contracts. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds was paid the highest paid linebacker in the league that year as a free agent. He got the most money of any free agent linebacker in the NFL that year. And he got a huge deal to leave Buffalo. And it's like, do you even pay him? JJ Paterka just got $7.7 million for 5 years. Lots of debate on, should you even pay him? What are you getting? Are you tying up your money in a guy that you're really going to kind of regret at the end? And I think the debate itself, whatever you answer you arrive at is fine, but the debate itself is very similar. Here's where they're different. And this is interesting to me. But I will say, maybe similar, because when Tremaine left, it was, okay, here's our guy filling his spot. The Bills had a plan. They had a plan with Terrell Bernard. Terrell Bernard's going to be the middle linebacker. How many people out there said, that can't be your plan? Look at him. Look at his size. There's no way that guy can fill in and be your middle linebacker. You have to have a better plan than that. Well, the Bills had a plan, and for the most part, it's worked. He has missed a couple games. He is undersized. He's made more splash plays. He's a very good player. So good, they actually paid him, as opposed to Tremaine Edmonds. JJ, to me, this is where I say, you can't have the same plan that the Bills had. You can't fix and replace, I should say, what you lost in JJ Paterka internally, like the Bills did with Tremaine Edmonds internally with Terrell Bernard. You can't do that if you're the Sabres. You have to go out and find somebody. But who knows? Maybe the Sabres believe they can replace JJ Paterka internally. And I just think that that is not the way to go here. The difference between the two teams, where they were in their timelines too, right? Like, you have a team around, and letting go of Tremaine Edmonds isn't going to kill you because you're already kind of there and you just got to replace him. And yeah, it could not maybe go as well as you want with Bernard, but you should be okay because you should be insulated by all the other talent. That's not the case with the Sabres. Like, they need somebody. They got to have somebody step in. They need to win now. They don't have the kind of team that's been going to the playoffs and winning playoff rounds to say, you know what, if we miss on it, we should be okay because of everything else we have. You can't have that luxury. So that's why, to me, I still get to, you have to pair that trade with another move. You got to pair it somehow with another move. Could be a trade tonight. Could be a trade this weekend. It could be a trade sometime in the next month. Remember, Ryan McLeod, that trade happened after the draft last year. It happened, I think, on like July 5th or 6th or 3rd, right around 4th of July. I remember because it was the night the Savannah Bananas played in Buffalo, and I went to the game. It was that time period, and that's how I found out, going to the game. You could also sign a free agent. Could be that. Maybe they know that they're going to get someone. So I think a lot of the comparables are the same with this young player, very polarizing, does a lot of things people like, but has a lot of deficiencies people don't like. There's a money component where you think, should you pay him? Should you not pay him? Young, maybe ascending in some ways, but may have kind of maxed out in a lot of other ways. And then you move on from him. The difference is the Bills had a plan. And even though a lot of people questioned it, it did work. With Terrell Bernard, I would say that it did work. Maybe you disagree. I say it worked. With the Sabres, I don't think that's their plan. But if it is, I'm pretty terrified. And we'll see. I think it's got to be something else. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton on the other side of this timeout as we roll along on a Friday, NHL draft day and night here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah. It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going? Are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, Paul Hamilton has been covering NHL drafts for quite some time, but this one looks a lot different because he's down at the Bills media room. I asked you the other day, Paul, about what it's like seeing some people down there. You're like, you know what? They've never really been down here before. What's the vibe? What's the feeling going down to One Bills Drive, not only with the media, but from the team standpoint of being down there and how they're treating this situation?
Yeah, well, we're not quite down there yet as for today. We right. open up the room around 5, and then the first round gets going around 7 o'clock. But, yeah, it was a lot of the vibe, as I told you, it was just the media looking around going, yeah, all right. Yeah, this is what a media room looks like. Okay, cool. You know, type of a thing. So, and I think the Sabres are just as excited. You know, it wasn't really their idea to go down there. I think it was more maybe Pete Quellew who just said, why not? Hey, guys, you want to come down? I mean, we have this room that's specially made for this purpose.
Yep.
It's here. We use it. And and as Kevin Adams said, he jumped at the chance once it was presented to him. And why wouldn't he?
No doubt about it. Sabres and the rest of the NHL get going tonight. 7 p.m. is when the draft kicks off and starts. And, of course, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And you can hear Paul and follow his reports at PHAM1717 on social and WGR550.com. Okay, Paul, you and I have discussed many times that we would prefer the Sabres to trade the number 9 overall pick. It's easier said than done. A lot of times, as people point out, you're not going to quite get the value there. Where do you land still today on how aggressive they should be to try to move this pick?
Oh, very. You know, last year, nobody traded their first round pick, which is very, usually somebody does. The Sabres moved down, but actually trade the pick. I mean, many teams were supposed to be trading their pick, but nobody did. I would still, if I were the Buffalo Sabres, be doing that. But is that a trend now? Is that a trend where, you know, people don't trade their picks anymore and they hold on to them? You know, we're only going to know after this draft and maybe a couple of more that, well, people don't trade their picks anymore. You know how pro sports goes and how those trends tend to go. But I certainly, if I were the Buffalo Sabres, be looking to acquire, as we've talked about yesterday. You have now, you know, they've got the defenseman they were looking for. Now they have a hole, in my mind, in their top six for two players. I thought it was one. Now it's two with Peterka leaving. So, you know, that's an avenue right there where I think maybe number 9 alone isn't going to get the type of player we're talking about, but number 9 mixed in with some of the currency that you have in Rochester or in college, or I mean, the Sabres are considered to have one of the best prospect pools in the NHL. So maybe if number 9 doesn't exactly get it done, maybe number 9 and fill in the blank would help get it done. So, you know, maybe Bo Byram, you know, in some type of a trade. Elliot Friedman's talking about the Sabres haven't been getting the offers they feel they should get for Bo Byram right now. So that is on hold, and I would agree with that. Just like, you know, when they were trading Jack Eichel, they waited until they got something that they felt they could live with, and it took until November for that to happen. So I totally agree with that. If you're not getting equal value for what you feel you should get for Bo Byram, you shouldn't be trading him. So, you know, that's something I would agree with. You're in no hurry to. I mean, Bo Byram can't become an unrestricted free agent for a couple of years. I don't think he's going to break out into hives if he has to sign a one-year deal and stay with the Buffalo Sabres. He likes the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, he likes the players. He doesn't have a problem with any of that. He just wants to go to a place where he can be, get that number one defenseman ice time and be in those situations. If he's got to wait a year, I don't think he's going to be, you know, all that crazy about it.
Yeah, I brought it up earlier. The Ryan McLeod trade happened July 5th last year, right? I mean, you still have some time here. After free agency even begins and you kind of can assess your situation, you know, how long do you think the Byram situation could drag out? I'll ask it this way, Paul. At what point would we say, okay, it looks like Bo Byram's staying in Buffalo? Is this something that could really go up to even camp time, beginning of the season?
I'm a type that never said. I mean, the Skinner, I believe Jeff Skinner came, if I'm not mistaken, maybe in August.
Oh, yeah, right, that's right.
If I'm thinking back correctly, I know it was later in the summer. I never, I mean, it could happen at any point. You know, you could be around, you know, before the holiday trade freeze or, you know, at the trade deadline or at any time, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. All of a sudden, teams need a defenseman with injuries and they decide, you know what, let's go back to Buffalo and talk about Bo Byram. And then all of a sudden, you've got a deal. So I think eventually there might be a deal, but we could still maybe be talking about this next summer, and I don't think it's a huge big deal if we are. Don't just make a trade for the sake of making a trade.
By the way, good memory. August 2nd, 2018, Jeff Skinner traded to the Buffalo Sabres. So good memory by Paul Hamilton right there. Okay, Paul, you got a chance to meet on Zoom with a couple of the two new Sabres players yesterday. I guess we'll start with Josh Doan, then we'll go to Michael Kesselring. What did you learn about and know about Josh Doan?
Well, and Josh Doan, he's a type of guy that was first year in the NHL last year, and of course he has the bloodlines. I mean, his dad is a institution in that franchise history, not in Utah. He didn't play in Utah, but with the Arizona Coyotes. And, you know, so you have the good pedigree there. Doan is the type of player, I don't know if you'll ever see him playing on a line with Tage Thompson. But Ray Ferraro, I was listening to him on his podcast yesterday because he saw a lot of his games, talked about how he felt Josh Doan was improving as the season went on because he was feeling his way through the NHL. And he says that's not uncommon with first-year players, you know, just trying to find their way. And he felt Doan was finding his way. He's got an excellent shot, and that's something. He's got good size. He's not afraid to use it on the forecheck, getting in on the forecheck. He, as he said, he likes to cause havoc and be in the middle of havoc. He kind of thinks that's fun. And the Sabres maybe don't have enough players who think causing havoc is fun. You know, Marchand thinks causing havoc is fun. Bennett thinks causing havoc is fun. And they're holding Stanley Cup. So, you know, you need different types of players. And you know, I could see him right now maybe playing with Krebs and Malenstein. But that doesn't mean that's his ceiling at 23 years old. Next thing you know, in a couple of years, he might be playing with McLeod, you know, and being on a shutdown line that's a two-way line. You know, Zucker's not going to be around forever, and that's where I kind of envision Zucker right now. So, you know, he could be maybe in that type of a role with Greenway eventually as he gets older. So, I think they have acquired a player. They need to get bigger. There's no question about that. The Florida Panthers have shown us that you know you can't have Team Munchkin and expect to be Stanley Cup champions. And they needed to get bigger. And I think Doan helps them to do that with some sort of an upside in this type of a player.
Do you know, did he mention about his dad and how anything about the Sabres making a run at him maybe, what, 8-10 years ago?
Yeah. Well, he didn't mention that, but he talked about it's hard to leave an organization that his dad was an icon in and that he grew up in basically because, you know, and he wound up going to Arizona State, you know, to play college hockey and he grew up in Arizona around that team and around those players. So it's a little hard to leave. I know Kesselring was emotional about leaving. Yeah. He's happy to come to Buffalo because he thinks he's going to get to play in a role that he wants to play in, you know, in a top four. But at the same time, he's really grown a lot of good relationships with the Coyotes and with Utah. He really enjoyed the first year in Utah with the team. And he said it's a little emotional to leave, but he said at the same time I really am looking forward to the role that I might be trying to earn here and getting here with the Buffalo Sabres. Plus, you know, he's from New Hampshire, his family's there, so he said it's only like an hour flight. He's never played this close to home, so he's really going to enjoy that, and he loves this arena. His first NHL goal was here against his former teammate Devin Levi. And then last year, he got the Gordie Howe hat trick in one period In the second period, he started off with a fight, then scored a goal, then had an assist before the period ended. So he did all that in one period in Buffalo. So he kind of enjoys being in Buffalo in this arena.
Sabres add a couple of players, a right shot defenseman. How does that change any of their thinking, you think, on either Bo Byram or the draft? I said to Brayton earlier, the NHL is a prospects draft. It's not like you need you fill a need like you do in football right away. But by making this trade, the J.J. Paterka trade, what he is out and what they got in, does that do anything for how they perceive what they want to do with Byram and or what they want to do with the number 9 pick?
Well, Darren Dreger's right. He said on our air talking to Marty and Brian Duff that it changed the dynamic of the trade because the Sabres were like, it's all right, we're trading Bo Byram, but you're going to send us a good right-handed shooting defenseman. And he said that eliminated some teams. They didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't in the running anymore.
Makes sense, yeah.
He goes, but now that has changed. They've gotten that defenseman. Now they're probably looking for forwards. And some of those teams that were out are now back in. Yeah, and so that, I think, will help a little bit there. So that's an interesting dynamic, too, that it changes the dynamic of that trade also. Not that they wouldn't entertain taking on a defenseman if the defenseman were the right guy. I still think – I don't think it would be the end of the world if they traded Samuelson and added somebody else there. I don't see Clifton playing more than his contract year, which is one more year, even if that – so it wouldn't be the end of the world if a defenseman were still part of that trade.
So the other thing I'm reading, this is through just kind of reading through social media, and Bulldog had posted something about what Elliot Friedman had said, as you just mentioned, about Bo Byram. But here's another thing from Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. He makes reference to the Sabres are going to make a run, is the way he put it, at signing Alex Tuch. That's kind of a bit weird to me to put it that way. Does that mean that there's still some possibility here that, you know, there's a Alex Tuch is like, yeah, I don't really know if I want to do this? Or is that maybe just some wording that we're reading more into than we should, you think?
Yeah, I try not to read too much into things like that. I think Elliot Friedman tends to say what he means. You know, he doesn't like try to hedge his bets. A lot of people try to hedge their bets saying, well, you can't hold me accountable for that because I didn't really say that. That's not Elliot Friedman. So he could mean that, but, you know, Adams was pretty definitive when he talked about Alex Tuch that, you know, Tuch wants to be here. He knows how important it is for the Sabres to sign him. He's like feels wanted. You know, they've tried to let him know he is definitely a priority and definitely wanted. Now, will they come to terms? Will they be able to, you know, one side might have a different version of what at the top end than the other side. Is it term? Don't forget, he'll be 30 years old when he signs his contract. Do you want to put an 8-year deal there, taking him to 38 years old? No, he might be one of those players like Ovechkin who is still very effective at 38. None of us know that, but that doesn't happen very often. I mean, these special players like Crosby and Ovechkin, it happens for, or Jagr, and there's others you can name, but it's not hugely common to still have all of the skill that you had at 30, at 38. So are you looking at a 5-year deal? Or is Tuch saying, look it, I want to stay with the Buffalo Sabres, but I want an 8-year deal. And to me, Tuch holds all the cards. They cannot afford to lose him. He knows that. I mean, he knows his value to this team, and it's huge. So to me, he kind of has all the leverage. So maybe you got to bite the bullet and give him 8 years if that's what it's going to take to re-sign him. Because if you do not re-sign him, I think you really put this whole thing backwards by a lot.
Paul, what do you make of some of the changes coming from the CBA, which appears to be done, and it's going to be formally announced, a new CBA between the NHL and the NHLPA? A couple of different changes. One of them is dress codes, actually, about dressing when players arrive at the arena. Another is actually the amount of term you can sign your own free agents will be reduced from 8 to 7, but other teams can only sign you to 6, and a couple other things in there as well. The big one I like is the closing the loophole on the salary cap situation in the playoffs. But I'm curious your thought on the dress code situation and then the free agent signing situation.
I'm like, why? I'm kind of like with the dress code. Is it really that important? Like the other stuff you mentioned, yes. I mean, that's the players. All right, you've kind of taken a year off each one, so you're not tied up for as long. I understand that. I understand, you know, the adding two games and subtracting two preseason games. I don't like it. I think because of the quality of hockey, the season is way too long. It should be 68 games. But now with 82, maybe 84 games, it's always one of the teams is three games in four nights or back-to-back. Or, you know, it seems like you always have a tired team on the ice that has to play a different style of game just to get through that game to try to get 2 points. And I think the hockey is better. Like when you have an Olympics and you get back for like the first two games or so, the hockey is phenomenal. All the teams are rested. They're skating. They're flying. Maybe you're rusty and there are mistakes, but so what? Mistakes lead to goals, and people like to see goals. And the hockey is just great for a couple, maybe two, three, four days, and that's what you would get if you would reduce the schedule. But I know that's never going to happen because you're losing revenue then. You're losing all those gates and all those, you know, putting people in the stands. And so that's never going to happen. People care about money. They don't care about the quality of the product. And I think the quality of the product will suffer because of even just adding two games. They should be subtracting games, not adding. But this is the NHL, and people are not making money in the NHL, so you can't cut their revenue source even more.
Full-time e-bugs, by the way, apparently, are coming.
What's that now? I didn't hear
full-time
what you said.
Full-time e-bugs, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Emergency backup goalies are coming, according to the new CBA.
According
to a couple of reports I've read.
Isn't it amazing that that doesn't happen more? I mean,
I agree.
I mean, two injuries to a goalie, it just almost never happens. And, you know, goaltenders get knocked around in the crease. I know they try to protect them, but still, they get knocked around. They can get hit in the mask. They can get hit, anywhere. And they can get knocked back into the crossbar. It just is, and I'm glad it doesn't happen more. And I'm glad they're having a contingency for it. But it just amazes me that that doesn't happen more.
Yeah, by the way, I'm just curious to see who is the first NHL player to go full Mac Hollins on his way into an arena, if you get my drift, and wear all the crazy outfits and suits. I don't know what they're doing with the dress code. I haven't read that much about it. I mean, they're eliminating the dress code, but maybe there'll still be some sort of code because, you get kind of some crazy stuff going on with guys like Mac Hollins. And I'm not, criticizing. I think it's kind of funny what he does. But the NHL has always had this different way of going about it. And I've read a lot of people are like, no, you're unique like that. Let's keep it like that. So it's an interesting debate, I guess, going on.
And two, I think I've told you before, I really enjoy watching Caitlin Clark play basketball. So I watch her team in the WNBA. That's a big thing now. Like the WNBA fashion show coming in. It's like a really big thing. People, the women dressing up and they find different looks and they try to have a different look each time. And they put a lot of thought and time into it. And apparently, now I couldn't care less, but apparently fans enjoy that. That's great. If fans enjoy it, do it. I mean, if that's what fans want and they want to see it in the NHL, see individuality and coming in, and Mac Collins certainly was a fun look on game day coming, sometimes not even game day, at training camp or whatever. He had fun with the whole thing. So, yeah, have fun with it, whatever. It's not my cup of tea, but if that's what fans want and they enjoy it, do it. I have no problem with it.
All right, buddy. Well, strap yourself in for a long weekend. We'll be following along. You'll have you'll have plenty of things to cover down there in some way, shape, or form. We just don't know what that's going to be with the Buffalo Sabres starting tonight.
Yes, I mean, the trades. I mean, no, we may get there and already trades. Yeah. I mean, I remember landing, I believe, in Minnesota for the draft, and as I got off the plane, Robin Regier was a Buffalo Sabre. They said, okay, let's start working on that. And apparently that was when Pegula just took over. Pegula and Ruff and Regier got in a plane and flew to, I believe, Alberta or Manitoba, wherever Robin Regier was, and actually talked him into waiving his no trade to come to Buffalo. And they sold it. And he said yes. And by the time I got to Minnesota, we had a trade to talk about right in the airport. So you just never know how this is going to break down.
I think that maybe I'm thinking back. The Lindros trade on draft day, like that's one of the more famous kind of moments of a draft, right? Like those guys getting together at the table and how all that went down. Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of, we talk about the centralized or decentralized draft and having those guys all together and you see, oh my God, something's going on. And yeah, that's kind of the famous one I think about.
And they play games too, knowing that the media is watching
that's
them.
That's right.
And they get together just so that, oh, well, look at Danny Briere's talking to Kevin Adams. And they're like, where'd you have dinner last night? And we're being watched right now. But it was fun for us too, because we could line up that we were at like where the goal is in the offensive zone. But there was a wall there where we could line up and GMs actually would come over and chat. And it wasn't necessarily with microphones or anything like that. It was just to chat. And it gave you an opportunity to maybe meet with other GMs that you don't normally get to talk to, or GMs that you know but haven't seen in a while. And that was a really cool thing where you could interact with other GMs, scouts, or whatever right there on the draft floor.
Paul Hamilton, follow him tonight and all weekend, as always, at PHAM1717 and, of course, WGR550.com. Have fun tonight. We'll be following and listening along. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. And, oh, you know what? I got to read you who brings you Paul every single time he's on. Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. So there you go. We will hear more from Paul throughout the day, tonight as well. But right now, we're going to take a timeout. And when we come back, yesterday, I brought something up on the end of the morning show with Joe. We were on the Extendo Sports, sorry. And it was about the Joe Sakic offer sheet. And a lot of you told me, and I didn't realize this, there was actually a documentary made. And then ironically, last night, bumping around, went to the Bisons game, came home, there were a couple other documentaries on last night. So kind of want to talk about that a little bit. A couple things I've watched recently you might really get into, hockey-related. And another one that's not hockey-related that I just got to tell you all about watching this show that I saw recently and totally interesting for many reasons here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
So yesterday I was on with Joe in the morning, and at the end of the show we talked a little bit on the Extendo Sports about offer sheets. So a couple things about offer sheets, all right? First of all, something I went and just kind of took a look at to make sure when it comes to the Sabres, okay? The Sabres, they cannot offer sheet certain levels this year. Okay, because offer sheets are based on you have to have your own, the ability to have your own certain draft picks to compensate if you do actually wind up signing the player and taking him away. So, according to Puckpedia, which is actually where I went and looked at how they do this because they do a really good job of this, Puckpedia, they actually have it broken down of which teams are eligible to have certain offer sheets or not have other offer sheets. The Sabres are, they have the ability to offer sheet someone who's an RFA the maximum amount, which is $11.7 million and above. That's a lot. They'd have to give up four first-round picks. That would be something they have available to them. I don't see it happening, but just saying that is possible. However, the Sabres cannot, they're not eligible to offer the next two levels of offer sheets, anything from 9.3 to 11.7 or anything from 7 to 9.3. So really the JJ Paterka type of deal is not available to the Sabres to offer anybody out there. I mean, someone called up earlier and said, go offer Matthew Knies. You can't offer him 7.07 million to 9.3 on an offer sheet because AAV, because you don't have the necessary compensation. And the reason they don't have it is because they don't have their second round pick next year. It requires two firsts. The first, the top level that they can't do, the number two overall level, I should say, requires two first round picks and next year's second. The 7.02 to 9.3 million sheet requires a first next year and a second next year and a third next year. They don't have next year's second round pick. They can't do it. They can, however, offer sheet someone from 4.68 to 7.02 because that only requires next year's first and next year's third. So if you're thinking of an offer sheet for the Sabres, we've been thinking the other way, right? Is JJ going to get offer sheeted? I don't think Jack Quinn will. I mean, I don't think what? Who else is eligible for an offer sheet? Ryan McLeod, right? I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, you know, the Sabres would receive the compensation in return. We don't think the other way as much. I mean, people have thought about it and said it. We've been focused so much on JJ. But the Sabres can go offer sheet, guys. They just can't offer sheet them really anywhere from $7 million to $11.7 because they don't have the necessary compensation available to them without a second-round pick next year. You have to have your own second-round pick. It's kind of weird the way the NHL does it. Even if you trade for a second-round pick, you've got to kind of have your own, I guess. So I don't like that. We talked also about how Joe Sakic, terrific hockey player, Colorado Avalanche, mostly for his career, was offer-sheeted by the New York Rangers back in 1997. And the Avs weren't going to be able to match it. But the production company, owned by the same people that own the Avalanche, that year had made a movie called Air Force One with Harrison Ford. And, you know, as Joe said, famous line, get off my plane. And because of the money that came in from that movie, they were actually able to find the cash to be able to match the offer sheet, which was totally wild. So I brought that up yesterday, and several of you tweeted in at me, there's actually a documentary on that. It's called Saving Sakic. Pretty interesting, right? Pretty cool. I need to go watch this. I have not seen Saving Sakic. Have not watched it yet. I need to watch it. Bulldog said it dragged on a little bit at times, but it was still very informative. So I need to watch that. But there was one last night that I did wind up seeing because it was on last night. So last night went to the Bisons game. And with many people I work with at Odyssey, while others at Odyssey and were playing in the 11-day power play. Josh, you played last night, right? You played in the 11-day power play?
Yes, I did.
My apologies for not bringing it up until now. How did that go for you guys?
We won. Owen got player of the game. He stood on his head quite a few times. Derek Kramer got a hat trick.
What?
Yeah, and I had two goalposts. So. Super
no
good
goals,
time for me.
Just two goalposts.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Great time for me. That's why I play goalie. But Owen outranks me in that department.
Well, so. I did not hit any goalposts, so I respect the hell out of your two goalposts. I just want you to know that, pal. Okay.
I appreciate
great
it.
Great job. How'd you feel after that?
Very sore. I actually cramped up. Like my last shift ended a little early because My quads cramped up, and I had to get off the ice. And thankfully, the nice trainer in the hallway helped me get my quads back up to speed. And I'm playing again tonight with Derek's team. I'll be in between the pipes tonight, though, so it'll be a little bit of a different feeling for me tonight. So playing 9 to midnight if anyone wants to come out and watch us have a good time.
Yeah, that's great. Who did you guys play against yesterday?
The Western New York Media All-Stars, and we won once again. I think it was 15-11 was the final score, I believe. Somewhere around there.
I love it. Great job, man. That's awesome. Raising a lot of money. Tomorrow, this weekend, is the Ride for Roswell, and we have a lot of people here involved in that. You know that we've been promoting that, and you can ride with Bulldog and our team. I'm going to be out at the Ride for Roswell tomorrow and helping to kick off the event from UB. So if you're riding, you'll see me, and I respect the hell out of all of you doing that because I know that I'm not riding. I am talking. It's what I do. Maybe one of these years I'll ride. This is my kind of first introduction into the Ride for Roswell from this aspect. I know all about it from people who ride, and it's amazing what all of you are doing, raising so much money. It's a super well-organized event. I can't wait to be a part of it tomorrow in my small capacity, but I'll be up on the stage at UB kicking it off for a lot of you and talking and then watching you do the I got the easy job. You all have the hard job but the fun job, which is cool, and raising money, which is great. So if you're a part of that, really look forward to seeing people at UB tomorrow. I'll be a part of that. Bulldog will be riding. I know we have several riders here from WGR, so very, very cool, and Odyssey. So thank you so much. I retweeted Bulldog's post from earlier today. If you want to continue to donate to him, riding in the Ride for Roswell, we have all that going on this weekend, and tomorrow morning we'll be there over at UB. So last night went to the Bisons game, like I said, and it was like they were like down 11-0. They came back. What was the final score? They were down 12-8 in the ninth, but they came back. They were down 11-0. And, you know, it was still a fun time being with a lot of people I work with and haven't seen maybe in a while here at Odyssey. Then when I went home, I'm like, all right, kind of bumping around, get on TV. And Max starts watching a documentary on Alex Ovechkin. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. What's it called? The Great Chase, I think it's called, something like that. And it was really cool. And they went through and showed, you know, the goals leading up to the ultimate goals where he breaks Wayne Gretzky's record, Gordie Howe, then Wayne Gretzky and all that. Right after that is the documentary, the E60 called Unrivaled. Have you seen it yet, Josh? The one on the Red Wings and Avalanche that came out a few years ago?
I haven't, but I've been meaning to see that one because just it looks so good.
It does. It's pretty long, but in that kind of steered me away from it a couple times when it was on. I'm like, man, I don't have the time to invest. I want to watch the whole thing. But we're just hanging out together. I'm like, oh, let me tell you about it. And I'm just a sucker for telling my son about like the history of these things, right? That's part of the reason I love watching it last night and some of these other docs that come on, because not just is it the entertainment value, I get to watch and tell Max like, oh my God, I got to tell you what happened here and why this is. And here's the backstory. And if you watch it, you'll learn more. Like I kind of fill them in a little bit in the blanks, I guess, and get them into it. And I get to relive it that way. So that part is super cool for me. Man, it was really good. It was really good. Unrivaled. It examines the rivalry in the late 90s, 96, 97, especially between the Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings. And the hit that Claude Lemieux put on Chris Draper when he checked him into the bench area and like broke his face basically into a lot of pieces in a lot of ways. And Darren McCarty and everything went out. He literally, McCarty and Lemieux, who these guys like this, they hated each other. We went after him. He came after the next year in the regular season, you know, beat him up basically. And they're on the stage together talking about this. And it was super cool watching it and seeing it through their lens and hearing the stories and talking about it and all the different backstories to it and the suspensions that came and Scotty Bowman and Lemieux meeting in a hallway and on a bus. How about that? Like, Bowman's on the bus, on the team bus. He's the head coach of the Red Wings at the time. Lemieux walks by the team bus, and Bowman kind of steps off and says something to him as Lemieux's walking with his kid. And his kid, who's, by the way, being held, and that kid is Brendan Lemieux, who was drafted by the Sabres years later. And he said, I handed the kid, my son, off to my wife. And he said, I put one foot on that team bus and said, you know, what do you got to say or something? And then he kind of laughed and said, because I knew all the tough guys were in the back. All the guys who just scored goals were in the front of the bus. So it was kind of funny. Really good documentary. Really, really well done. Enjoyed it last night. So that's one I watched last night, Unrivaled. And that was after the Alex Ovechkin documentary. The other thing that I've watched recently has nothing to do with hockey. But I watched it recently. Started watching on a plane, I think, and then finally finished the only four episodes on Netflix. There is a show on Netflix called Adolescence, okay? And I don't love watching stuff like this, but I kind of started, I watched the trailer. I'm like, all right, let me see. And the reason I don't love watching it is because I have an adolescent for a son. And it's tough to watch if you have an adolescent for a son. I think it's tough to watch for anybody. But if you have an adolescent kid, I think it's even more tough to watch. And the gist of the story is it's in the UK and a younger boy, I think he's, 13 at the time is what it is. He is, he's accused of murdering a classmate. And that's what the show is about. But there's only four episodes. But what was really interesting to me, so I'm watching this, and I think you get through the first episode, and you're like, did he do it? Did he not do it? They don't really follow the story of that. Each of the four episodes is kind of about how it impacts all of the people in the lives of this boy, and the family, and the cops investigating, and the classmates. And it's super interesting. Very dark, not something I will tell you that I recommend if you don't love things like that, like don't watch it. But at the same time, if you know what you got going in, you say, okay, like this is tough to watch, but I'm going to watch it because it's a good lesson. And one of the lessons, it's really kind of a lot about social media and kids being on social media and the things that they're dealing with today that maybe we don't know as parents. And I learned some things about, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Like that's what that means on social media. That's what that means on Instagram. And wow. Right. I mean, a lot of lessons being taken away. But the other really interesting thing about totally unrelated to all that is the way it was shot. So Josh, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this, but I'm watching this show. And the first episode, I'm like, boy, there's something weird about how they're filming this. And then I realized it. It's all done with one camera. All of it.
Oh, those are their best.
They're following a person. Yep. Someone else then, they go through like 3-4 minutes with that person. Someone walks by a hallway. They transition away from the person they're on and just keep following the other person now and go through the next 5-10 minutes with them. And it keeps happening.
The movie 1917 was filmed the same way. And it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was revolutionary at the time because it was like a full movie was shot with one,
yes,
like one shot. And like it just, stuff like that is awesome. I love watching where it's just like you can tell like you're just like in the perspective of one person. And like you said, then all of a sudden you shift, but it doesn't feel like you're shifting because you're still in the same scene. And it's so good.
Yeah, and that's what happened throughout. All four episodes are like this. So it opens up and they're following something happening and they're following a person up the stairs, into the bedroom. You know, it's very, you know, like that kind of action-packed. They're not switching camera angles. But then even when the kind of scene is over, it's still the same camera because then they follow that person down the stairs and go outside and follow the next person who's going down the road in their car, a different person, and they're in the car with them. It's really wild. And I've never seen it like that. And people said, well, it's done like that intentionally. Well, of course it is, right? I mean, you wouldn't think otherwise. But it kind of adds to, like you said, the perspective and the intimacy of what you're watching. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there because it was something I finally finished. I started watching it a few weeks ago. And got through one episode, then another maybe last week, and then finally got through all four episodes. And if you have an adolescent kid, it's a good lesson to watch it. It's also very tough to watch. So I'm just giving you that fair warning going in. All right, that being said, enough of that. We'll come back and wrap up and preview tonight one more time the NHL draft starting tonight at 7 p.m. here on WGR. And of course, the Sabres picking 9th overall. We'll wrap up your Friday as we head into NHL draft night here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, wrapping up your week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a lot more coming your way. Of course, show up in the Bulldog 3-7. Right after that, it's the NHL draft and coverage here on WGR. We'll have Brian Koziol and Brayton Wilson anchoring it from back in our Amherst studios. Paul Hamilton will be down at 1 Bills Drive. But before then, 12-3 today, Derek and Zach coming your way, as they have so often. And the aforementioned Derek Kramer with his 3 goals last night in the 11-day power play. Congratulations, first of all. And can you recall and remember each goal in your mind as they happen? And how much will you embellish when you talk about them?
First of all, ow.
You're sore, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing I wanted to start with. Ow. The first one was... The best way I can liken this is terrible Pele. I had to kick the puck to myself twice, Sal. It was not pretty.
Huh?
If there's one thing...
You got to show some athleticism to do that, though.
Yes, but entirely the entire time I'm panicking internally in my head. I'm like, don't lose this puck. Don't lose this puck. Don't lose this puck. I did not lose the puck, and I scored.
Yep.
So that was nice. The second one was a... it was just a blind shot, like using a screen. There were two guys in front of me. I've been poorly trying to deke all night. It wasn't working, but I kept trying to do it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot this thing, try to throw him off. And it worked. The third one was a perfect pass from Mike Lesikowski. And after missing on, I think, the last four attempted passes that he had for me, I finally got it and buried it.
Okay.
That one was just a quick shot, five hole. So yeah, I'm a volume shooter, Sal. I think I probably had like at least 20 shots in the game, and I only scored three times. So that should say more about me than anything. But I did it. I said I was going to score more than anyone on the GR staff, and I did it.
You did. You were the leading scorer for goals?
Well, not for the entire team, but for the people that get paid here.
Okay. I love it. That's great. Although one player on that team can't score goals, well, he can, but he's saving goals. And from what Josh told me, Owen was outstanding.
He was. And typically when you score only 15 goals in an 11-day shift that's going over the course of 3 hours, you don't win, except for when you have Owen Parker.
Right.
So
what was the final score?
15 to 11.
Wow. Only 11 goals allowed in a how long?
3 hours.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. There were a couple of them, like, he was all over the place. Like, there was one he kind of, like, sprawls back, reaching back with the stick and the blocker to make a save. There were a lot of times where everyone was just going, oh! Like,
yeah, you know what it reminds me of? I've said this before, like, you know, and I play rec league sports now as I get older, and you know, you try, and I've played in like flag football leagues with some guys who really, you know, they played high level college football, even had cups of coffee in the NFL. And you're like, when you're on the field with them, you realize how different they are than everybody else. You know what I mean? And what they do. And I think that's kind of what you probably saw last night from Owen, right? And these guys that Josh just talked about from the other team that they're when they were on the ice together, like you just realize how different these people are when you're playing with them and up close and personal.
There was a kid, I think he had Junior Sabres apparel with him. That was a terror that we had to deal with. I actually had to play defense. So I kind of liken myself to...
It's not something you do.
Yeah, it's not something I do well.
You're the J.J. Paterka of the WGR team, right? You're just like, they're like, hey, great offensive game. He led the team. Where's the defense, pal? We're going to trade you.
Yep, I'm getting traded. Sorry, guys.
It's all good. We don't want that. Hey, how do you feel? Could you, if I said to you now, you're going to play, you got to go back on the ice. When's the quickest you could do it to play?
I mean, something? I don't have a choice. I'm playing at 9 o'clock tonight. So,
oh, there you go. You're doing it tonight. Why don't you give a plug for that tonight for anybody who is listening and wants to head over to the 11-day power play.
If anyone wants to not take part in the nightlife, instead going to Harbor Center to check us out, myself, Josh Schmidt, TJ Luckman, we're all pulling the double duty from playing yesterday and into today. So that'll be fun. Mike Lesikowski will be back with us as well, speaking of people that played last night. And we're going to have ourselves some fun. The team that I run, it's called the Ankle Benders. We've raised over $10,000 as a team again this year. So, and that's the part that's the most important. You know,
awesome.
We're raising money
awesome, man.
For cancer research at Roswell Park, Make-A-Wish Western New York, Camp Good Days, and Oshai Children's Hospital.
And tomorrow, Ride for Roswell. I'll be there to kick it off. Lots of respect for everybody riding and tons of respect for you guys for playing. By the way, Zach, I didn't mean to exclude you, but hi and have a good show and happy weekend to you too as
Thanks,
well.
Thanks, bud. Have a good weekend as well. I didn't play hockey. I was watching Netflix last night.
I was watching.
Well, we are going to hear from you shortly. You got Derek and Zach coming up 12 to 3. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. Have a great weekend, everybody. Maybe I'll see you out at Ride for Roswell tomorrow. Go and watch the 11-day power play tonight.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.